Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Payments News. My name is Cindy and today is October 15, 2019. This edition is brought to you by Paycademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about DeVito partners with Splitit for POS finance. Samsung, MobiWave to roll out mobile POS solution. Google launches debit card payments in Brazil. Zwipe prototypes management chip for biometric payments. PaySafeCard launches in Iceland. Swedbank launches instant payments in online bank. Metro Bank brings fintech to UK SMEs with £120 MLN funding. 5Degrees teams up with Codit to boost SME lending services. ACCC takes the pulse of Australian banks on mortgage pricing. Small business advocates decry exit of SMB Commissioner Uppel. Roe enters SMB banking market with emphasis on APIs. Avid Exchange Collab targets affordable housing AP. Study, UK corporates get risky with vendor onboarding. Amid fintech, FI pacts, governments join development efforts. Australia launches small business insolvency probe. AP Solutions, a spotlight on suppliers. Now let's get started. DeVito partners with Splitit for POS finance. DeVito has partnered with Splitit Payments to offer Splitit's monthly installment payment solution to its customers. According to the press release, the partnership addresses the desire from multinational retailers and consumers to have greater choice at the checkout. Splitit's omnichannel and cross-border installment solution is available as an additional payment method for DeVito merchants and customers initially in the UK and the US. DeVito's research, the Spending Index, Big Ticket Edition, revealed that 60% of consumers would remain loyal to a retailer if the payments process was effortless, while a third of UK shoppers state that they view paying by finance as a convenient way to spread the cost of payments. Samsung, MobiWave to roll out mobile POS solution. Samsung Electronics has partnered with MobiWave to launch an NFC-enabled contactless payment acceptance solution for mobile devices. According to ZDNet, the two companies will deploy the Samsung POS in Canada, with plans to expand the solution globally in 2020. The solution is aimed at making mobile payments more accessible for merchants, and allows consumers to make debit and credit payments by tapping their contactless cards, Samsung Pay, Apple Pay, or Google Pay wallets onto Samsung NFC-enabled devices. Merchants can download the Samsung POS app from the Galaxy Store or Google Play Store, and register as a merchant for immediate use. Google launches debit card payments in Brazil. Google has launched a debit card payment function in Brazil through Google Pay for users of Android smartphones, Reuters reports. According to the company, Brazil has 60 million debit cardholders, while the number of credit cardholders reaches 50 million. By enabling debit card payments, Google aims to increase its target market. Moreover, the company will not charge retailers, card issuers or card processors for the use of its debit payment platform. Card issuers Banco do Brasil SA, Banco Bradesco SA and Itaú Unibanco will allow clients to use the Google Pay's debit function, as well as card networks MasterCard, Visa, and Elo and e-commerce platforms, such as delivery apps Rappi and iFood. Other details about the new debit function were not disclosed. Zwipe prototypes management chip for biometric payments. Zwipe has launched a combined power harvesting and management chip for biometric payment systems on cards, wearables, and other devices. The company has manufactured a prototype of its application-specific integrated circuit, ASIC, Z5 chip, which features Zwipe's proprietary energy harvesting IP. By consolidating the contactless energy harvesting and power management components in a single chip, Zwipe aims at its Z5 to reduce cost and facilitate the power efficiency, as well as the ease of manufacturing with embedded biometric solutions. Zwipe's goal is to commercialize its biometric payment card technology, recently delivering the first order of its second-generation biometric inlay to a card manufacturing customer. It also signed an exclusive partnership with IDEMIA, in a bid to co-invest in a platform to bring the technology to market. Paysafe Card launches in Iceland. Paysafe Card, an e-cash solution and part of global payments provider Paysafe, continues to strengthen its presence in Europe and is now also available in Iceland. Paysafe Card is launching in Iceland with sales partners Baskovarslanar, 10-11, KVIKK on the go and Kvasan. Negotiations with other distribution partners are already in progress. Paysafe Card is offered in 4 denominations: 1,500, 3,000, 6,000 and 12,000 Icelandic krona. 1 euro equates to around 135 krona. As Europe's northernmost country, Iceland has around 344,000 inhabitants, according to the official press release. These represent a comparatively young society as a third of all citizens are under 25 years of age. Iceland has an internet usage rate of 98% and a high mobile penetration rate at 121%. As such, the country represents a highly digital and networked population. Paysafe Card was founded in 2000 and is headquartered in Vienna. The company is part of the International Paysafe Group, which provides a broad portfolio of payment solutions and services. Paysafe Card offers prepaid and online cash solutions under the brands Paysafe Card, My Paysafe Card, Paysafe Card MasterCard and Paysafe Cash. Swedbank launches instant payments in online bank. Swedbank has announced that its private and corporate customers can now transfer money by using instant payments online. In the first phase, the new form of payment can be used to make in-bank and domestic payments. Payments up to 15,000 euros in instant payments reach the recipient in a few seconds and can be made to all local banks that offer the opportunity of receiving them. Swedbank customers can make instant payments within Swedbank itself, Coop Bank, LHV and SEB. For outgoing instant payments there are no additional fees, the same as for ordinary domestic payments done in euros. Swedbank customers are already able to receive instant payments from other European banks that have joined SEPA Instant Credit Transfer Scheme. The existence of instant payment opportunity can be checked on the EBA clearing website. Incoming instant payments, as well as other SEPA payments in euro, are not charged extra. Metro Bank brings fintech to UK SMEs with £120 MLN funding. UK-based Metro Bank has announced 3 fintech and SME partnerships, following £120 million funding it secured from the Capability and Innovation Fund. As well as using its own investment, the bank says it wants the money to inject much-needed competition into the small business banking market. Through partnerships with business lending marketplace funding options, international trade service Conance and company intelligence platform Doodle, Metro Bank will now be able to offer SMEs a wider range of integrated services on its own platform. Funding options gives businesses a scanning tool for the lending marketplace, so they can compare financing options from more than 70 lenders, giving SMEs the chance to get an alternative yes if Metro Bank can't finance their business needs. Then the bank's partnership with Conance will provide SMEs with specialist trade advice and finance solutions, whilst its third signed contract with Doodle will speed up the time it takes to open a business current account online with features such as auto-populated company information. 5Degrees teams up with Codit to boost SME lending services. Netherlands-based digital core banking provider 5Degrees has partnered with UK-based fintech Codit in a bid to boost their SME offering and strengthen their position in the SME lending industry. The collaboration is expected to allow banks and financial services provider to support SMEs through lending access and risk mitigation. According to the supplier, the partnership will see Codit integrating with 5Degrees open banking marketplace which allows competitors to work together with an aim to improve customer experience. Established in 2010, 5Degrees is a digital core banking technology provider with its digital banking platform Matrix that aims to connect channels, customers and the fintech ecosystem and is expected to provide a fully automated banking services platform. Founded in 2017, Codit aims to assist banks in integrating with the multiple accounting platforms their customers use to operate businesses through a single API. ACCC takes the pulse of Australian banks on mortgage pricing. The Australian Competition and Consumer Commission has announced launching an inquiry into mortgage pricing. The inquiry is meant, in part, to find out why the Big Four banks have failed to pass on lower interest rates to their home loan customers. The inquiry follows three rate cuts this year, bringing the official cash rate to a record low 0.75%. But, the Big Four banks have reportedly not been passing on the full rate reductions to customers, often citing funding costs as a reason. The inquiry will also seek to understand what prevents more consumers from switching to cheaper lenders, considering matters such as consumer decision-making and biases, information used by consumers, and the extent to which suppliers may contribute to consumers paying more than they need to for home loans. While the focus will be on the entire residential mortgage sector, the emphasis will be on the Big Four banks, which retain 75% market share. The ACCC will produce a preliminary report by 30 March 2020 and a final report by 30 September 2020. Small business advocates decry exit of SMB Commissioner Uppel. UK Small Business Commissioner Paul Uppel will step down from the position due to a conflict of interest, according to The Times. Reports said the government has terminated its employment of Uppel following concerns raised over his involvement in an ongoing bank redress scheme, an initiative designed to enable small businesses to obtain independent support to resolve disputes with their banks. It is unclear exactly what the conflict of interest might be. In a statement, the Federation of Small Businesses described Uppel's exit as a disappointing development that will put the brakes on our efforts to date. In another statement, the Association of Independent Professionals and the Self-Employed said Uppel's departure is troubling. Uppel's position was established in 2016 to help small businesses manage disputes with their large corporate customers over late invoice payments. He led the emergence of a name and shame approach to late payers, with the government also readying to empower the Small Business Commissioner to issue fines to companies found guilty of paying their suppliers late. The position is also slated to take over management of the Prompt Payment Code, a voluntary code of conduct for corporates vowing to pay their suppliers in a timely manner. We've made some genuine progress on the late payments front since the Small Business Commissioner first took office back in 2017, said Federation of Small Business Chairman Mike Cherry, according to separate reports in smallbusiness.co.uk. We've welcomed his efforts to name and shame larger companies, including Holland and Barrett, Bupa and Zurich, for poor payment practices. He also led efforts to reform the toothless prompt payment code. Cherry added that his departure will put the brakes on our efforts to date. Deputy Pubs Code adjudicator Fiona Dickey will take up the Small Business Commissioner role in the interim, reports said, until another commissioner is appointed in early November. Roe enters SMB banking market with emphasis on APIs. A new small business banking and financial services provider is launching in the U.S. market. Roe Technologies announced Tuesday, October 15, the rollout of its flagship offering Roe Business Banking, an FDIC-insured bank account service with an integrated commercial card offering, as well as cash and treasury management tools. In a press release sent to PYMNTS, Roe Technologies pointed to its focus on API integrations with Roe Business Banking, enabling the solution to connect with existing back-office solutions that small businesses use including Slack, Xero and QuickBooks. The bank also supports same-day ACH payments and does not charge transfer or wire fees. Deposits earn 1.6% APY on business savings deposits. The banking service are provided by California-based Evolve Bank and Trust, Roe's website notes. The New York-based company is launching to a limited number of clients in anticipation of a full rollout, though the company did not indicate when that would occur. Small businesses can apply for a bank account in under 3 minutes, the company said. In addition to its launch, Roe also revealed seed funding led by Inspired Capital. In a statement, Inspired Capital founder and managing partner, LearnVest founder and former CEO Alexa von Tobel pointed to personal experience that revealed gaps in the small business banking market, which is laden with outdated incumbents and missing a modern customer-first experience. In another statement, Roe co-founder Alex Weldon similarly highlighted personal experience that revealed small business banking challenges, while co-founder Everett Cook said large U.S. banks are forced to offer something for everyone type service, which generally means small businesses and early stage companies become an afterthought. Earlier this month, another small business fintech, Brex, announced the rollout of Brex Cash to offer small business clients an alternative to traditional bank accounts. The tool works in conjunction with Brex's commercial card offering and offers a 1.6% APY return offered as part of its collaboration with Radius Bank, which provides payment processing and back-end software for the offering. AvidXchange Collab targets affordable housing AP. Accounts payable solution provider AvidXchange is expanding its collaboration with real estate software company MRI Software to broaden its supplier payment services in the market. In a press release issued Monday, October 14, AvidXchange said it will offer the MRI Vendor Pay solution, a vendor payment tool developed by AvidXchange and MRI Software, to MRI's affordable housing customers. The solution offers a vendor payment solution embedded within the MRI Software platform. Expanding the offering to MRI's affordable housing customers broadens the reach of the AP tool to affordable housing portfolio owners, which, the company said, face unique accounts payable challenges related to multi-family compliance and inventory shortages. The MRI Vendor Pay tool connects users to integrated AvidXchange payment processes as well as AvidInvoice for invoice processing. AvidXchange will help affordable housing owners spend less time on paperwork and more time focused on the properties they manage, said AvidXchange CEO and co-founder Michael Prager in the release. With AvidXchange and MRI's integrated technology, they'll have automated AP and payment processes that are scalable, better positioning MRI customers to expand portfolios and make affordable housing available to more people. MRI technology is used to manage operations and equity for more than 50% of the U.S. affordable housing sector because we offer the right tools for multi-layered subsidies and mixed portfolios, added MRI Software Chief Legal Officer and President John Ensign. AvidXchange is a trusted partner and bringing them into our ongoing efforts for this industry increases the benefits we're able to provide clients, giving users more application options that work in tandem with their core MRI product. The expansion of its collaboration with MRI Software follows August's announcement that AvidXchange acquired BankTel Systems, allowing the firm to expand its accounts payable offering to bank clients. Study: UK corporates get risky with vendor onboarding. UK businesses are failing to adequately vet their new suppliers, exposing those firms to risks that are poorly understood, according to new research from Dow Jones Risk and Compliance. New analysis published Monday, October 14, said corporates are inconsistently applying policies intended to mitigate supplier risk of corruption, bribery and other financial crimes. A survey of 250 UK-based procurement officials in a range of industries, including oil and gas, IT and technology, engineering and construction, found that nearly one-third of companies work with business partners or vendors that are considered high risk. Half admitted that the time it takes to vet those suppliers leads procurement officials to cut corners, while researchers also found that one-third of all supplier onboarding that occurred among the surveyed businesses in the past year was likely to have been done incorrectly. The report also highlighted concerns over a lack of confidence among procurement officials with regard to their supplier onboarding practices, as well as the level of influence that senior-level executives have over vetting processes. In addition to exposing these companies to the non-compliance risks of their supplier base, the report also warned that the UK's Serious Fraud Office is expected to ramp up enforcement that could lead to penalties, business disruptions, and damage to reputations. This research reveals significant gaps in the implementation of third-party risk management processes, as well as a lack of business-wide understanding about the risks such processes are designed to address, stated Dow Jones Risk and Compliance General Manager Guy Harrison in a statement. With enforcement action on the rise, compliance simply isn't the place to cut corners. UK businesses need to address blind spots around third-party risk management as a matter of urgency. Jim Lord, former US Department of Justice prosecutor and Dow Jones risk and compliance consultant, added that the research suggests that compliance officers need to have visibility over the entire third-party onboarding process. A consistent risk-based approach implemented throughout the organization with oversight from compliance is a critical component of having adequate procedures in place, he said. Amid fintech, FI pacts, governments join development efforts. Fintech-bank partnerships are becoming more prevalent within financial services, and so are cross-border pacts between governments to jointly bring resources to bear on nurturing tech-nimble upstarts. To that end, and as announced this week and reported by OpenGovAsia.com, the Hong Kong Science and Technology Parks Corp., and the United Kingdom's Department of International Trade signed a Memorandum of Understanding to enhance collaboration in fintech between the UK and Hong Kong. The latest pact follows on the heels of the agreement between the Hong Kong SAR government and the UK government that was struck 2 years ago in what was termed the bridge, which laid out principles for fintech collaboration. The memorandum between the Hong Kong Science and Technology Parks Corp. and the United Kingdom's Department of International Trade would allow for repeated visits to the respective countries by a number of fintech startups and enterprises each year with an eye on, among other things, pitching and investment activities. In Israel, the Banking Supervision Department said late last week that it has opened an assistance center in that country, focused on fintech and access to traditional banking accounts. The department's move comes just weeks after Israel made cross-border information and resource-sharing announcements of its own, declaring at the end of September that the Capital Markets, Insurance and Savings Authority, and the Israel Security Authority have jointly signed a memorandum to work with the Croatian Financial Services Supervisor Agency. A bit closer to home, in the United States, Central Payments, which operates as the payments division of Central Bank of Kansas City, said that it had formed Falls FinTech, billed as a fintech accelerator. Central Payments also said it had formed CPX, an open API platform. According to a release, Falls FinTech is targeting fintechs that are nearing what is termed the minimum viable product stage, and where there is the involvement of a bank as issuer and source of insured deposits, and which will utilize the CPX platform. The project, said Central Payments, has secured the support of MasterCard, which also serves as a founding sponsor. In terms of individual company news also with a tie into cross-border efforts in Europe, Enterpay, an invoicing company based in Finland, said this week that it had closed a funding round valued at the US dollar equivalent of $1.1 million and also struck a partnership with a German bank, Volksbanken Raiffeisenbanken. The funding, according to an announcement, will help Enterpay, which focuses on B2B e-commerce, credit scoring and invoicing automation, broaden its geographic reach. The German bank, for its part, represents about 25% of the European e-commerce market, worth an estimated $496 billion. Elsewhere, FinTech Rapid has announced that it received a remittance license from the Monetary Authority of Singapore. The FinTech, which announced $100 million in funding last week, has said that the remittance license means that its own corporate customers can extend digital payments offerings to end users across 100 countries and more than 160 currencies. The FinTech as a service model will, according to the company, simplify and speed cross-border payments for trade, for SMBs and supply chains. The latest license follows news of Rapid's partnerships with TNG FinTech Group over the summer and OCBC Bank in April. Finally, ComputerWeekly.com reported that a proposed sale of a digital challenger bank, known as Fador, has collapsed. Fador Bank had been put up for sale by the French banking company BPCE late last year, and the French firm had reportedly been in talks with Oldenburgischen Landesbank (OLB) and private equity firm Apollo. These talks have now ended with no agreement, reported the site. Fador had been launched in Germany and had been billed as one of the earlier fintechs to launch, using social media and APIs to bring traditional financial services online. The failure of the deal demonstrates the challenges faced by traditional banks when it comes to integrating a different culture into the business, reported Computer Weekly. Large, traditional banks, for example, face a lot of resistance to change as a result of their structure. Australia launches small business insolvency probe. The Australian government will be launching an investigation into insolvency practitioners amid rising criticism and allegations that unfair practices pushed small businesses (SMBs) into collapse. Recent reports in ABC News said the Small Business and Family Enterprise Ombudsman is launching an inquiry into the insolvency industry after a previous probe into the general financial services industry failed to address the issue. Ombudsman Kate Carnell announced the new inquiry, noting these concerns. Unfortunately, the Banking Royal Commission wasn't asked to look at the role of insolvency practitioners, and that was a missed opportunity, she said in a statement. We know there is a very low success rate in restructuring Australian businesses under external administration, and the impact of the insolvency process is often devastating for the small business owner. Reports said more than 8,000 SMBs fell into administration last year. It is most important that small businesses and farmers who find themselves in financial difficulty are treated with respect and fairness, said John Waka Williams, who will chair a reference group as part of the inquiry. Reports noted that Williams played an instrumental role in the earlier Financial Services Royal Commission. This inquiry is essential to see if any systemic improvements can be made, he added. The probe will focus on the current inquiry system as it pertains to small businesses, and will assess transparency of these processes and costs related to an array of industry practitioners, including advisors, valuers, and administrators. It will also examine how a small business insolvency might lead to bankruptcy for a business owner's. Previous findings. An inquiry into the sector, launched in 2016 by the Ombudsman, found some questionable practices among banks that may have unfairly pushed a small business into insolvency. In one-third of the cases reviewed, the Ombudsman found very real issues where bank conduct is unacceptable and possibly unconscionable. Carnell explained, small business owners felt they had lost control of their business, and in cases where the business was wound up, they felt the process was poorly managed. This new inquiry will identify areas where practices can be improved, and recommend changes to the system to achieve fairer outcomes for all parties involved. The inquiry was met with some criticism, however. According to the Australian Restructuring Insolvency and Turnaround Association, ARITA, the inquiry is naive. By the time the vast majority of small business S reach a decision to appoint an insolvency practitioner, they are generally well beyond saving, said ARITA CEO John Winter in a statement. Similar scrutiny in the UK. Banks' role in small business insolvency services has similarly faced high-profile scrutiny in the UK, most notably in the Financial Conduct Authority's FCA's review of the Royal Bank of Scotland's RBS Global Restructuring Group (GRG). Various investigations found evidence of wrongdoing by RBS, resulting in calls for stricter rules and stronger protections for small business borrowers. However, the case also shed light on the limitations of government regulators to address such wrongdoing. Criticism against the FCA mounted following its decision to not issue fines against RBS. Our investigation has found that GRG clearly fell short of the high standards its clients expected, but it was largely unregulated, and so our powers to take action in such circumstances, even where the mistreatment of customers has been identified and accepted, are very limited, said FCA CEO Andrew Bailey in a statement in June. Earlier this year, the UK Treasury's Asset Protection Agency, APA, also faced criticism and allegations that it influenced GRG's strategy, which regulators said included tactics to force small businesses into administration. According to BBC reports in January, the APA had a hand in some decisions that determined business customers' fortunes. RBS denied those allegations. AP Solutions, a spotlight on suppliers. Automated solutions provider AvidXchange recently acquired BankTel Systems. The move enables the BankTel Systems customers to access AvidXchange's suite of invoice-to-pay solutions, including AvidPay and its network of B2B suppliers. As payments giants shift the innovation spotlight onto B2B transactions, developers of new accounts payable solutions are ushering in a growing trend, designing payment tools not just for the payer, but for the B2B supplier as well. While corporate buyers would like to use commercial card products to make payments, due in large part to their ability to offer rewards and incentives, as well as lengthen payment times, vendors struggle to see the value in accepting the interchange fees and absorbing the costs of adopting their infrastructure and back-office processes. The new next-gen AP automation tracker explores how new solutions are being implemented to make B2B payments smoother and more secure, with a focus on suppliers. A new report suggests that companies' focus on supplier needs and enhanced vendor relationships are strategic and mutually beneficial. A majority of businesses surveyed said they're looking for longer-term supplier relationships today than they were 5 years ago. Companies are also increasingly concerned about how late payments to their suppliers might impact their reputation as a corporate customer, as well. What suppliers want? Accounts payable (AP) processes are infamously paper-dependent, with PYMNT's July Payables Friction Playbook finding that 80.8% of firms still use paper checks to make payments. The next most popular methods are reimbursing suppliers via ACH (63.8%), credit cards (48.2%), and cash (45.2%). AP firms aren't necessarily giving suppliers what they want. Just 14.2% say their suppliers wanted to be paid through paper checks and only 6.2% prefer being paid in cash. Suppliers had the highest preference for being paid via same-day ACH, 25.9%. Firms and their suppliers may not always be on the same page when it comes to how they want to pay and be paid, but most can agree that paper checks and cash are less than ideal. Analog versus automation conundrum. Using data and automation isn't a foreign concept for AP departments. A recent study found that roughly one-third, 30%, are using data and financial intelligence to enhance supplier management. For AP teams looking to put their plans into action, innovations in e-payables, such as AP automation, provides the way forward. In an interview with PYMNT's, Uma Wilson, Executive Vice President and Director of Product Management at UMB Bank, explains how the bank works to break the paper check spell and educate businesses on AP automation's advantages. Wilson noted that some firms have delayed automation because they worry it will disrupt existing supplier agreements, yet what many businesses do not realize is that automated solutions can be easily implemented and beneficial to both parties. Some suppliers may even already accept electronic payments. One party has to take the lead, however. Even if suppliers might be able to receive electronic payments, mail is still the leading way that they send their invoices. 72.4% and 43.8% are reliant on fax. Wilson spoke of the importance of giving digital entry points for a supplier to go and enroll themselves on their own. Don't try to get payment instructions via emails, phone calls, or letters. Rather, please have your supplier go into the designated digital channel we are making available for them, she said. Firms are also more likely to say they were sent invoices and/or use supplier portals to receive invoices for large payments than fax. While 34.5% received invoices for large payments, just 21.5% received invoices for large payments via fax. Mutually beneficial value. Supplier portals and invoices also benefit businesses. Firms reported more satisfaction with digital payment methods speed, data security and supplier acceptance rates compared to those of checks. Nearly half, 47.9%, of firms that pay their suppliers using digital wallets are satisfied with their convenience, 44.5% with their speed and 16% are satisfied because their suppliers prefer to be paid with them. Automated solutions have the potential to cause significant shifts in how AP departments function, but few firms actually use these innovative tools. A recent survey found that only 19% of firms viewed their AP departments as exceptionally valuable, while 21% claim they offer little value. Over three-fourths, 76%, are using smarter systems to drive more efficiencies, over half, 51%, are using deeper, more agile analytics, while one-third are exploring innovative platforms for processing payments. In PYMNT's July Payables Friction Playbook, a majority, 56.9%, expressed interest in invoice solutions to improve at least one area of receipt, approval or processing. Automatic order matching, which uses algorithmic tools to pair sellers with buyers at certain price points, also had fairly high interest, 43.8%. One quarter, 24.6%, would like to implement artificial intelligence, AI, systems. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.